Welcome to the Wampa's Lair podcast. Deep in the bowels of the frozen ice caverns of Hoth, our hosts, Carl LeClaire and Jason Hunt, have been frozen upside down to the cave ceiling with nothing to do but talk all things Star Wars. So make yourselves comfortable, but keep a wary eye out for trouble here in the Wampa's Lair.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a special edition episode of the Wampa's Lair podcast. I'm your host, Carl LeClaire, and I'm flying solo this time. I'm like Han, you know, on the Millennium Falcon, just flying solo. All right, I'll stop now because I don't have anybody to laugh at me this time. I just wanted to do a quick episode. We'll see how quick it goes, but an episode on the fall of Anakin Skywalker. I know we've done a bajillion takes on this in the Wampa's Lair in the past, but I was watching like parts of Revenge of the Sith the other night, and it just kind of came to me actually how beautifully George Lucas uses the scenes in Episode 3 to really illustrate why Anakin falls and why it's so tragic. And, you know, let's be honest, we're all super hyped up about Star Wars right now because we're 3 months away from a new Star Wars movie. So Star Wars is often on my mind, not like it wasn't already, but I'm just always thinking about, the implications of how good all of these films are, especially the prequels, which, as many of us know, don't get the same amount of love as the OT. And, you know, in a lot of the promotions for Episode 7, you know, they're talking a lot about how they're really sticking to the OT feel. But there's not enough credit given to the PT, and what a great story it is. And also, what a great job George Lucas did telling that story. Now, yes, I'm the first to admit that obviously there's a lot of mistakes, there's a lot of problems. But overall, I think George Lucas tells a great story. The meat of it is great, the bones of it. He's built this beautiful story that has, of course, some flaws, but kind of what I wanted to do with today's episode was just kind of look through the sequence of events for Anakin in Episode 3 after the Battle of Coruscant's over and everything, starting with this balcony scene and then ending with his actual fall and becoming Darth Vader. And just looking at pretty much every scene Anakin is in the film up to this point really illustrates to us why he's going to fall and how he falls. So I'm going to kind of do like a play-by-play of each scene. But before I even get to that, I think it's such an integral part of Star Wars, this whole idea of Anakin falling. And we first got a glimpse of that in A New Hope, in the scene when Obi-Wan's talking to Luke. So let me play this clip real quick.
Vader was seduced by the dark side of the Force.
Yeah, so obviously very short clip there. But, you know, Obi-Wan is making a point to Luke that Anakin, well, he doesn't say Anakin, obviously, but, you know, Vader was seduced by the dark side, you know. Well, how did that happen? Where was the seduction process? And if you think about it, you know, Palpatine is obviously, you know, playing with Anakin throughout the PT, especially not even in some of the Clone Wars episodes. But really, that whole seduction process happens very quickly, and we're given images of all of that. Specifically in Revenge of the Sith. And it kind of all begins, you know, on this balcony scene that, you know, a lot of folks don't really care for. Because again, it is a little bit cheesy, but, you know, to me, it's such a beautiful scene. And it's really the integral part for that starts this kind of seduction process for Anakin. Because this is before everything goes bad. And it's this beautiful scene of peace with Anakin and his wife. And they're just dreaming together. They're dreaming about the family they're going to create, dreaming about their life together, and they're just in love. And it's kind of this experience of paradise. You know, to give it a biblical sense, this is kind of like the Garden of Eden experience. Everything is great for Anakin. He's back with his wife. He hears that they're about to start a family. Everything is perfect. And everything is just peaceful. And I know we talked quite a bit about this on our last episode, but again, I can't say enough for how much I really enjoy this scene. And again, it kind of does. It sets everything up for Anakin's fall because, you know, it shows that he has everything he wants. He has a wife. He's about to start a family. And things are good. But he immediately, right after this scene, right, he goes to sleep and he has this really horrific dream of Padme dying while she's giving birth to that child. And this is where Anakin gets a vision of losing that experience of paradise. He loses the ability to have everything he wants. And everything that they were just dreaming about that very evening is taken away from him in this dream. And Anakin has that experience from his past of his dreams coming true. I mean, obviously, we see that in Attack of the Clones. He has this horrible dream about his mother, and he's too late, and she dies. Anakin is crippled by this dream. The rest of the Revenge of the Sith plot for Anakin moving forward now is his paralysis by this dream. And again, it's informed by his past. And I think that's the thing is, you know, when old fears come back up, even like for people like us, when old fears come back up, they can cripple us because we have an experience from our past that tells us we have something to be afraid of. And that's exactly what happens to Anakin. I mean, he seizes up. The rest of this movie is about him now trying to make that dream not a reality. So after we have, you know, that very intense dream sequence, Anakin wakes up and, you know, he makes his way out to the veranda of Padme's apartment. Quick side note, this is such a beautiful set piece. And again, as much as there is CGI in the PT, when we do get some set pieces, they're really beautiful. And I really love Padme's apartment. It's such a beautiful setting. And it's so cool how it looks over the city like that. But anyway, I digress. Whoops. I'm not eating food. You know, so Anakin's sitting out there and Padme comes out. She knows something's up. She knows her husband. You know, when two people are in love, it's easy to tell when the other person is upset. We probably all are aware when our significant other is upset. And she comes out and kind of confronts Anakin and wants to know what's going on. And he's very reluctant at first. He doesn't want to tell her right away. And I think this is because Anakin doesn't really like to necessarily ask for help. And we see that played out even later because whenever Padme suggests that they ask Obi-Wan for help, he's like, we don't need any of his help. You know, Anakin's so quick to dismiss help from anybody else. So, you know, but Padme, like a good significant other, kind of endures his stubbornness and just says, come on, when are you going to be honest with me? She waits. She has that patience to deal with his stubbornness, and then he does. He opens up and he admits about his dream that he just had. So he kind of explains his dream to her and says, you know, in my dream, you die during childbirth. And he's not sure if the child does or not, but he knows that at least Padme will die during childbirth. So he makes that fear known. So again, George Lucas has gone through this great sequence of events of giving us this paradise and then this dream that is going to disrupt paradise. And now Anakin is making it known to his wife that this is what he's afraid of. So the very next scene we have with Anakin is he's sitting in Yoda's little apartment or meditation room, whatever it is in the Jedi Council. And he, you know, he goes to Yoda as kind of this person of spiritual wisdom. And he goes to Yoda and asks for spiritual counsel, if you will. And, you know, Yoda does. He gives him kind of this detached piece of advice. You know, you have to learn to let go of what you're afraid to lose. And basically he's saying, you got to let life happen. And sometimes realize that you can't control everything. Well, that is not what Anakin wants to hear at all. So in a sense, this you know, this great and wise leader like Yoda doesn't have the answers that Anakin is seeking. And that, of course, is going to leave him very troubled, you know, and you see that with that the last shot, you know, of that particular scene. You know, if you're watching this, you know, the scene closes with a close-up of Anakin, and you can just see it on his face. He's just frustrated and upset. You know, those words of Yoda gave him no peace of mind at all. He's still just as frustrated as he was when he went in there. And that's got to be such an uncomfortable feeling for Anakin. Anakin, you know, he goes to Yoda in hopes of getting some sort of practical advice. But Yoda's advice just isn't what Anakin's looking for. And, you know, even though it might be good advice, in a sense it kind of is, especially for somebody like a Jedi, Anakin doesn't want to hear it. And that's going to be big moving forward, because he's incapable of detaching the way that he's called to do. So our next scene with Anakin is, of course, you know, he is... Well, I kind of skipped a few scenes because, you know, I mean, it's important how Palpatine kind of finagles Anakin's way onto the council. But after, you know, Anakin, after the council scene where Anakin gets all upset with Mace Windu, which he should because Mace is a jerk, you know, we have this scene with him and Obi-Wan. Obi-Wan is his best friend. And Obi-Wan gives him this really, really uncomfortable task of basically spying on Palpatine. And in Anakin's eyes, Palpatine is like a father figure and a very close friend who he really trusts and cares about. And now he's being asked by his best friend and, in a sense, kind of his family, the Jedi Council, and, you know, the Jedi represent Anakin's family. They're asking him to do something dishonest and something he doesn't want to do. So this scene is so important, too, because the people that Anakin should trust and the people that Anakin should confide in, he no longer is willing to confide or trust. You know, this really disrupts his relationship with Obi-Wan specifically. You know, so it's almost making Anakin feel more alone. The man who he's been closest with most of his life has just asked him to spy on another very close friend. You know, and I love when that scene ends, Anakin is kind of glaring at Obi-Wan and he says, you know, why are you asking this of me? And Obi-Wan, I love it. Ewan McGregor is such a fantastic actor in these films. He doesn't look directly at Anakin when he responds, because I think he's so ashamed, and he just says, the council is asking this of you. You know, so Obi-Wan isn't even willing to say, this is me asking, it's the council. He doesn't want to feel that guilt of how crappy this is making Anakin feel. So, you know, now we've got Anakin not getting the advice he needs from Yoda, and now he doesn't even trust the Jedi because of what they're asking him to do. So then the next scene we have with Anakin is he's again alone with Padme, and they have this argument. It's basically a political argument. But the whole argument, really, to me, what's important about that scene, you know, when he's sitting there on the couch with Padme and she's kind of saying, you know, maybe we're on the wrong side, and he's all upset, you know, oh, you sound like a separatist. Anakin is so frustrated internally right now. He is, again, crippled and paralyzed by this dream he had. And, you know, he's holding all of that in, and that frustration is coming out in this scene. And that's, you know, I think that's why this scene is really great, because it shows that Anakin really is falling apart here. He can't keep his composure. He gets mad at Padme over something somewhat stupid. And again, that's so human. You know, when we have something that's really bothering us or really stressing us out, we tend to be a lot more snippy and short-tempered, and especially with those who we're closest with, like our loved ones. You know, any little thing can upset us for no really apparent reason, and that's what's happening with Anakin here, is he's just so frustrated and so confused by this dream that he kind of lashes out at Padme. And again, Padme, being the good wife that she is, endures his little bit of wrath, has the patience to, you know, come up and bury her head against his chest and just say, you know, hold me. Let's remember what's really important. She's trying to remind him of what they do have, as opposed to what he's afraid they won't have. She's trying to call him back to reality and remind him that we're okay. We have each other. We're in love. But that scene ends, though, you know, with her affectionately, you know, holding herself up against Anakin. But you can see it, and again, Hayden Christensen doesn't get enough credit. And obviously, I'm one of the people who doesn't give him enough credit quite often, but, you know, he doesn't get enough credit for how good of a physical actor he is. And even there, you know, he's holding Padme, you know, but it's not like he's compassionately holding Padme. You can tell that his mind is still somewhere else, and he's getting desperate. So now we have this opera scene. Anakin's late, he's running in. And, you know, this is the big seduction scene, where Palpatine is, you know, he's going to try and get Anakin to really doubt his allegiance to the Jedi, And more than that, he's going to make an offer to Anakin. And, you know, Palpatine begins by basically calling Anakin out on this odd task he's been given by the council. And he knows that, you know, Anakin doesn't trust them anymore. And that's really what he's kind of doing initially in this little opera scene, is he's again trying to increase Anakin's distrust of the Jedi and, you know, make Anakin more distant from them. And then he offers Anakin a remedy for his fear. He offers him this, you know, supposed way of saving people from death. It's almost a bit too good to be true, but he's got Anakin. He's got him hooked now. And, you know, Palpatine is telling him somebody, this Darth Plagueis, learned this ability to supposedly save people from dying. And he's got Anakin's attention here. Anakin thinks, okay, finally, maybe I've got the ability to make that dream of mine not come true. And it ends, of course, with that famous, you know, like, is it possible to learn this power? And Palpatine says, not from a Jedi. So again, Anakin is desperate. He's looking for anything he can find to prevent his dream from coming true. So he's willing to even look outside of the Jedi. And that's really what happens in that scene. We then go to this, you know, there's that brief scene where Anakin and Obi-Wan say goodbye to each other. It's very awkward. I don't have much to say about that particular scene, but again, it's, you know, Obi-Wan is being sent away while Anakin is falling apart. And to me, the reason that is significant is because, again, Anakin doesn't even have his best friend around. While all of this stress and all of this frustration is weighing him down, granted, yeah, he's not opening up to Obi-Wan, but now Obi-Wan is going to be, so, you know, taken from him, so he's got to endure this alone, or at least he thinks he does. But then we have this, you know, short little snippet of him reliving his dream while he's sitting on the couch in Padme's apartment. And it's, you know, it's very brief. It's not as intense as the first time Anakin has the dream. But I think, again, this is George Lucas's subtle way of telling us, the audience, hey, this is still what is this kid is obsessing about. Anakin is obsessing over this dream. It's probably constantly playing over and over again in his head, and he cannot stop it. So, again, I love that George Lucas slips that little dream in one more time. Because, again, it's this reminder that Anakin cannot not see that dream. He is so afraid of that dream. So, you know, you have another explanation-type scene immediately after he relives the dream. You know, he says, you know, Obi-Wan was here, wasn't he? And then they get into this conversation, and he's going to essentially say to Padme that he feels lost. I love the scene, you know. He feels lost. He feels like the people he's supposed to trust, his family, the Jedi Order, they don't trust him. And he doesn't necessarily trust them either. So Anakin is just, this is this broken man who's just expressing how alone he feels and how empty he feels. And then he goes on to say that, you know, I always thought I was going to be so much more. And again, I think this is so telling because, again, Anakin's been, you know, in the Jedi Order now for probably 15 years of his life now. So the majority of his life has been spent as a Jedi Knight. And, you know, those whole 15 years from the day he comes in, you know, as a little boy from Tatooine with Qui-Gon, he is told that he is this chosen one who will bring balance to the Force. Anakin is well aware that every year of his life as a Jedi that he is something special, but he doesn't feel like there's anything special about him. And that's what he's expressing to Padme in this scene. Is he's just saying, I'm not the Jedi I should be. I want more, but I know I shouldn't. And, you know, again, he's expressing his desire to just be so much more than he is. He just feels like your everyday Jedi Knight. And he was told that he'd be so much more, but he doesn't feel that he's living up to that potential. And he doesn't feel that the Jedi are necessarily capable of helping him fulfill his potential. So again, there's nothing at all evil about Anakin quite yet. Nothing at all. He's just, you know, He is a frustrated young man who is trying to live up to his potential. He's supposed to be super powerful, and now he's being crippled by this dream of not being able to be in control of his destiny. So he kind of ends, the scene kind of ends with him telling Padme that, you know, again, he admits that that dream is what's been troubling him so much. And she's like, "Jeepers, are you serious? Like, I'm going to be fine. I'm not going to die in childbirth." You know, and he admits that he's found a potential way to save her. And, you know, she just says, you know, you're worrying too much. I'm going to be fine. You know, and it ends with her saying, you know, "I'm not going to die in childbirth. I promise." And he says, "No, I promise you." Like, again, he needs to be able to be in control of the situation. He doesn't like how powerless he feels. And again, I'm going to tie that back into kind of like that biblical story of Eden. You know, the serpent, which in this particular movie is Palpatine, is subtly lying all the time to our main characters. You know, the serpent basically says, "Oh, you know, if you eat this piece of fruit, you're not going to really die. You know, it's actually just going to give you a lot of knowledge. It's going to give you a lot of power. It's going to give you independence, and the ability to control things." Palpatine is that subtle serpent. He is telling Anakin that he can have control. He can have power over what he's afraid of. So the next scene with Anakin is, of course, that very powerful scene where, you know, Palpatine reveals his true identity to Anakin. The devil appears, if you will, in the guise of this father figure, though, to Anakin. You know, Palpatine is saying, "Yeah, it's true, I'm a Sith Lord, but let me, please, like, use my knowledge, I beg you, so that I can help you save your wife." You know, Palpatine admits, "I know everything about you, I don't judge you, I just want to help." Now, we, as an audience, we know Sidious is evil. That's not true. But Anakin doesn't. Anakin looks at Palpatine, and while, of course, he is infuriated, and he has his lightsaber drawn, for goodness sake, but it's still hard for Anakin to forget that this has been a father figure to him most of his adult life. So he can't really follow through on killing Palpatine. And then, you know, he says that he's going to turn him in and everything, but, you know, Anakin right there probably should have either just attacked Palpatine or arrested him personally. But we know that Anakin just can't, because he is so intrigued by what Palpatine might be able to offer him. Then we go into this, you know, one of my favorite scenes in this entire movie, if not the entire saga. Is this beautiful scene of Anakin sitting up in the council chamber. Palpatine says, "You know, you do know if they kill me, any chance of saving her is lost." So basically Palpatine's saying, I'm your last hope. I'm your only hope of saving the woman you love. And again, George Lucas, without any dialogue in this scene, beautifully encapsulates what Anakin is feeling. He's looking across the city at Padme's apartment while she's doing the same. It's almost this brief connection of love between them. And Anakin just, he can't stand the thought of not living with Padme. But he also isn't necessarily pleased about what he knows he kind of has to do moving forward. Is, in order to prevent this dream from coming real, he's got to act. He's got to do something to make sure Palpatine survives the probable onslaught by Mace Windu and these other Jedi Masters. So, you know, there's that beautiful scene of that tear falling down. But I don't think the tear is necessarily for what he's about to do. I think the tear kind of represents just that fear of losing Padme. And he cannot let that happen. So now it's time to act. And he goes over to Palpatine's apartment. And again, it's smart how Palpatine has kind of mastered all of this together. He shows up right as Mace Windu has his lightsaber drawn on what appears to be an unarmed man. And, you know, he watches these two kind of struggle with Force Lightning and lightsaber, and, you know, you kind of have these cheesy lines like, you know, "He is a traitor, Anakin." "No, he is the traitor." It's like, okay, whatever. But at the same time, Anakin, again, feels like he has to make a choice here. And that's what Palpatine keeps saying, you know, "You must choose." And Anakin thinks that his choice is simply save Palpatine and probably his wife, or save the Jedi. And again, much of this movie, and again, Clone Wars has done a great job of illustrating this too, of how much Anakin doesn't necessarily trust the Jedi. So Anakin acts, and he feels like his action is it has to happen for him because it's the only way he can probably prevent his dream in his mind. He just doesn't want that to become real. So he does. He attacks Mace Windu and allows, you know, Sidious to finish the job. And he is aware that he's done something wrong. You know, he falls to his knees. What have I done? And he makes his deal with the devil. And that's really why Anakin falls. He makes this deal with the devil because he has this horrible dream of losing paradise. So he hopes with this somehow, by making this deal with the devil, it'll help him hold on to paradise. The paradise that he thought he was going to become a reality that night on the balcony. So that's, you know, to me, this is, again, shows the genius of George Lucas. He does a great job of, you know, showing us through all these little scenes with Anakin in Revenge of the Sith, why Anakin chooses to fall. And, you know, Obi-Wan tells Luke, you know, he was seduced by the dark side. That's exactly what happens in these scenes. He is slowly seduced because he's afraid of he's going to lose paradise. But he makes a deal with the devil as a result. And, you know, that just never really pays off. And, you know, he submits himself to Palpatine. And as a result, when you live in the dark, there goes the light. And that's essentially what happens to Anakin's character. So anyway, that's just a little rant I had. I was thinking about last night while watching some of Revenge of the Sith. So, hopefully you found something useful here. but anyway, we'll be back with a normal regular episode of the Wampa's Lair next week. But thank you for tuning in to this special episode of the Wampa's Lair podcast. I'm Carl, and Jason and I look forward to seeing you again soon in the Wampa's Lair.
I'm not the Jedi I should be. I want more. And I know I shouldn't.